I was going to preach on the economy today. I'll do that probably next week. You know, talking about a biblical worldview, that has to come up somewhere along the way. But I saw something on a billboard recently that prompted me to address the subject before us today. I'll explain in a bit what that was I saw, but it prompted me towards speaking to you about the matter of God's name. Because I believe this is one of the rudimentary principles of the world, that the name of God is nothing special. But to us, it ought to be. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we consider this subject this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your name, for all your names, and for telling us who you are and by what we should call you and address you. Teach us to love your name in all of its forms, in all of its expressions, and to demonstrate to the world that you are deserving of the utmost respect. Guide our thoughts in this particular subject, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While God himself is not very popular these days, his name can be heard almost everywhere. The phrase, and I'm a little hesitant with this, but I don't know how to talk to you about this without saying. The phrase, "Oh my God," is one of the most common exclamations in the English language. It can be heard in the most mundane television programs. It can be heard on news channels. It can be heard in the grocery stores. It can be heard at sporting events. And it can even be heard in church in casual conversation. And now that text messaging and Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube and all the forms of social media are abbreviating how we speak, the newest form of using God's name is in the abbreviation of the three letters OMG. I knew about this. It's been around for a while, but I recently saw it in larger-than-life letters on a billboard. And I've since discovered that this is being plastered on billboards all over the country. O-M-G. And then I discovered that back on September the 23rd, 2009, ABC Nightline did a special on this topic, does texting OMG amount to blasphemy? The transcript is very revealing. It reads, "As texting and instant messaging became a way of life, a shorthand lexicon emerged to save time and stress on fingers. Acronyms like LOL and TTYL replaced laughing out loud and talk to you later. The letters OMG replaced oh my God. Or did it? There's debate on what the G in OMG really means. Does it stand for gosh or God? Now, I want to stop right there because they make it sound like if it stands for the G-O-S-H, that it's okay. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, that word from 1757 is an altered pronunciation of God. So if you say that word, you are saying God. But people are ignorant. We may be ignorant about all of the euphemisms that are used to excuse ourselves in the misuse of the name of God. The transcript goes on. John Donovan spoke to a group of high school students from the Washington Hebrew Congregation Youth Group in Bethesda, Maryland, about OMG and how it relates to the third commandment, which says, according to the King James Version of the Bible, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." There are various interpretations of the commandment, but it is commonly defined as using the Lord's name casually or irreverently. Saying Jesus Christ in any other way than in praise is one example. It continues, "For a vast number of American teens, OMG has replaced the exclamation mark." A young lady said, quote, "You don't think that you're saying, oh my God, you're just thinking, oh, like a surprise, OMG. And then she says this, "It's nothing to be thought about." I think this is where we go wrong. We don't think about it. Another young lady in this same program said this. She considered herself to be an avid OMG user in text, and she thinks using OMG is a long way from, oh my God. To her, it's akin to golly, gee, or gosh. Well, I've already told you about the one word. The other words are also euphemisms for the names of God and Jesus. And then she goes on to say this. "That's kind of how I think about it. I don't know if that's a fair way to think about it, but it's how I make myself feel better." Folks, for hundreds of years, people have looked for ways to use God's name in vain, but make themselves feel better about it. What part should exclamations have in our vocabulary? And is it appropriate to use God's name merely as an exclamation? An exclamation is a word or phrase or sound that expresses a strong emotion, which leads us to our consideration of this rudimentary principle of the world. The name of God is nothing special, and I can therefore use it as a casual or irreverent expression of my emotions without any consideration of how it makes God feel. And while we talk about this, we're going to think in terms of the world literally saying God or Jesus as exclamations. I also want us to think about the euphemisms for God's name that we might use that are just as much a disparaging of the name of God as the blatant use of his name. So, let's go to Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8, and we'll first talk about what God says about his name. What does God say about his name? Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. God says this, "I am the Lord, that is my name." And you notice the word Lord is in all capitals. In a little bit, I will talk to you about how the Hebrew scribes respected the name of God when they transcribed the Old Testament scriptures and made copies. But that is reflected for us in the King James Version through the word Lord in all capitals. There was a name of God that we use rather easily. And sometimes I hesitate to say it because the Israelites typically did not. It was a special name for God, and it is the name represented here in all capitals. And almost always in the Old Testament, not quite, we'll observe another place where it is translated. Almost always in the Old Testament, it is represented by Lord in all capitals. In deference to the way the Israelites respected this name of God. But God says, I am the Lord, in all capitals. That is my name. And then he says, and my glory will I not give to another. And it seems to me that in this, he is connecting his glory to his name. Go to Psalm 83 and verse 18. Psalm 83 and verse 18. This verse says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is, and there's the word, the name of God, that is generally in all capitals for Lord. His name alone is this name. And thou art the Most High over all the earth. God's name is special because God is special. He is the only one there is. There are pretenders to be God. But in reality, he is the only one there is. There is no one remotely like him. And as this verse says, he is over all. That makes him very special and deserving of the utmost respect. You know, there was a day and time in which very commonly we addressed people a little more formally and said, Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so. But what has happened is we have equated respect with impersonal. That's what the world has done. The world has said, oh, when you say Mr. So-and-so, that's impersonal. So we've said that showing someone respect is the same as being impersonal. And you know what the implication is. Oh, impersonal just will not do in our society. They say confession is good for the soul. I made a goof one time. If you remember, a few years ago, I had surgery on my knee, and they were preparing me for surgery. I was on the bed that they were literally rolling me towards the operating room, and I was already becoming a bit drowsy. I will plead that as my excuse. They were asking me questions, and I'm a little drowsy. And one of the questions they asked me was, who is doing your surgery? And I named the doctor by saying his first and last name. And they corrected me and said, we say Dr. so-and-so around here. And in my drowsiness, which only lasted a few more moments and I was out, that's what I had on my thought as I was going under the knife. Someone thought I had disrespected the doctor because I failed to say, "Doctor, so-and-so." Actually, it's pleasing to think that someone thought respect was deserving in that situation. And certainly because of all of the training and knowledge and skill that we entrust in an individual, he deserves the respect to be called doctor. Can you imagine going into a court of law and addressing the judge like this? "Hiya, Joe." That just wouldn't go over very well. And yet, how is it that we address God or casually use his name in society? Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Malachi chapter 4, the last book of the Old Testament. The last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. God says that his name will be feared. He says, Malachi 4, 2, "But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." There is blessing to those who will fear the name of God. The word fear here means to reverence. Those who will reverence the name of God will be blessed. In fact, God says in this same book that there is great benefit in honoring God's name. Go back one chapter, chapter 3 and verse 16. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." God says, "You think upon my name in a reverent manner, and I'll write your name in a book. Because I want to remember," God says, "I want to remember everyone who respects my name enough to meditate upon it." And God does not take lightly when his name is disrespected. Malachi chapter 1. It's amazing how much he talked about his name in this little book. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master." God is speaking and he says, "If then I be a father, where is mine honor?" That is a most important question to be asked in our human society and culture today. Where is the honor of God? "And if I be a master," he says, "where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you." And notice whom he's addressing. "O priests that despise my name," and then say, "wherein have we despised thy name?" Here are the people of God who despise the name of God and they don't even know it. They don't even know how they are despising God's name. I'm going to talk more about that to you in a moment. But let me just finish what God says about his name with referring you to what we read a little while ago, Psalm 8. God said, his name is excellent in all the earth. It's excellent in all the earth, whether men recognize it to be so or not. But he is telling us that every use of God's name on earth should be a respectful one, and especially by his own people. So what does God say about the use of his name? We talked about what God says about his name. Let's see what he says about the use of his name. And would you go to Jeremiah chapter 34 and verses 15 and 16. You understand that Jeremiah is writing in the last days of the kingdom before the Babylonian captivity. So things are really bad in that nation at that time. I have to say that so many times things that I hear about going on in our country today remind me so much about what was going on in the book of Jeremiah. Because there were people, even in the last months before the nation was destroyed and carried away into captivity and the temple torn down, saying, everything's going to be fine. Everything's okay. Not a problem. Sounds like someone referring to $17 trillion in debt as no problem. Everything's going to be fine. We're getting better all the time. Well, in this context, one of the issues that God addresses with the people had to do with releasing servants. If someone owed you money, and the only thing they had left to pay you with was their labor, you could take all of their labor to pay what they owed you. But you could only take a maximum of 6 years of labor. And in the seventh year, you had to let them go. So he says in verse 15, and ye were now turned and had done right in my sight. That's good. They had done right in my sight in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor. So this had been practiced in the nation of Israel. And ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. Verse 16. But ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. He is saying that by our defiance of his word, we pollute his name. God's own people communicate to the world that God's name is nothing special when we do not honor God with our lives and do that which is right in his own eyes. We pollute the name of God by making a promise in God's name and not keeping that promise. Leviticus 19:12 says, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely. We do this by claiming God said something when he did not say it. And there are numerous references. I could give you Deuteronomy 18:20 or Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 14, which says, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. but we also pollute the name of God when we violate the third commandment. Let's look at it. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Some try to excuse the casual use of God's name as not a violation of this commandment. I read quite a dissertation from one person who claimed that every time they said, "Oh my God," they were actually praying. Do I really have to make a comment about that? If we fail to use God's name respectfully, what else can we expect from the world? If the name of God is nothing more than an exclamation to us in ordinary conversation, what else can we expect from people who are watching us? I fear that we, as God's people, are not informed enough about God's name. And all too often use euphemisms for the name of God as exclamations without understanding what we are actually saying. And then ignorantly violate the third commandment. I found a list. And at the top of it, it says, the following list was compiled using Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, Webster's New World College Dictionary, Roget's International Thesaurus, Rodale's Synonym Finder, and other references. So every one of the words on this page do not come from man's imagination. They actually come from a dictionary that defines this word as a euphemism for the name of God or Jesus. Obviously, I'm not going to read this to you, but I made copies. If you want to check yourself and see whether or not there's 106 of them on here, front and back. And some of them, admittedly, are more British than American. But many of them you'll recognize. And maybe we don't know whether we're using the name of God in a euphemistic form or not. I don't know, but I think we ought to check ourselves to see and know what we're doing so that we, even in ignorance, do not use God's name in vain. The opposite is this, Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 23. And what I'll do with these, I'll put some here in the front and some in the back after the service, and you can just pick one up. But this is not something that I want publicly distributed, you understand, everybody needs to understand, these are words that I believe we should not be saying. And if any children get a hold of any of this, you need to understand, these are words we should not be saying. So, think about that. I'm only providing it as a means for us to be as respectful as possible to the name of God. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 23 says, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 23. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name. Here's the opposite of the commandment. In the commandment, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But here is what we are supposed to do with the name of God. We are to sanctify the name of God. To sanctify means to set apart as sacred, to honor, to observe as holy. How do we sanctify God's name? We make sure we always use God's name respectfully. We make sure we do not camouflage God's name in casual, irreverent expressions. And we make sure that we honor God with our lives. Because the name and the person are inseparable. So we must ask ourselves this question. Do we respect God enough to honor his name? We should not even contemplate whether or not OMG is appropriate. That shouldn't even need to be a part of our conversation. Here's where I want to illustrate with what the scribes did in the Old Testament as they copied the scriptures. And this comes from a document entitled The History of the Bible, Part 2, distributed by an organization called The Ancient Page. And it describes it in this way. Many of the rules for copying the scriptures dealt with the character and heart of the scribe himself. A scribe had to speak and sing aloud each word as he wrote it. They washed their hands before each writing session, not just to make them clean, but rather to prepare the heart and mind for performing the holy act of writing the word of God. They also prepared before each session. They also prayed before each session. Writing a Torah is a mitzvah, a holy act. Before writing Jehovah, the name of God, the scribe had to clean the pen and wash their entire bodies in a pool of natural running water. Can you imagine? How many times is the word Lord in all capitals in the Old Testament? Every time they came to the name of God, that special name, they had to wash their bodies in a pool of natural running water. In writing the scriptures, scribes were careful to show great reverence and respect, even centuries before the Hebrew scriptures were canonized, showing that from the earliest times, these writings were recognized as God's word. Would you go to Psalm 86 and verse 12? This should be our attitude. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. Here's a couple of things to keep in mind about how special the name of God is. Number one, a person must call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved. Do you understand that? That's how important the name of God is. It is the name of the Lord that a person calls upon to be saved. That's both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Psalm 116, verse 13 says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Old and New Testament, you have to call on the name of the Lord, because salvation in both Testaments is exactly the same. You have to call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved. Number two, the name of Jesus is the only name whereby a person must be saved. Acts 4:12. Remember, I gave you that verse at the beginning of the service? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So first of all, you have to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Secondly, the name of Jesus is the only name by which a person can be saved. And then go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. Where God says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Do you know there are a lot of things that God does for his name's sake? In 1 Samuel chapter 12, he tells us that he will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. In Psalm 23, he said, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In Psalm 106, he says, he saved them for his name's sake. In Isaiah chapter 48, he says he defers his anger for his name's sake. What is at stake? It is the credibility, the integrity, and the honorableness of God's name. And we are to be bearers of that name. And set the example for those who honor it. We cannot expect much from the world regarding God's name. They clearly demonstrate that it means nothing more to them than an exclamation to express their emotions, without even a thought of whether or not it shows respect to God. But as God's people, we should promote respect for God's name in everything we do and say. One more reference, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the letter to the church of Ephesus. For the most part, the church of Ephesus was a pretty good church. It had some weaknesses and eventually diminished. But in this case, God has something to compliment them for. In verse 2, he says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Why do you do what you do in your life? We must all ask ourselves this question. Why do you do, why do I do, what do we do, why do we do what we do in our lives? The correct answer is for God's name's sake. For the sake of the name of God. For the sake of the honor of God's name. For the sake of the integrity of God's name. For the sake of the respect and reverence that is due to God's name. If we measure our lives by this principle, We can set an example in this world that is in stark contrast to the way everyone else is thinking. And maybe help some come to an understanding that they must not think that God's name is nothing special. Because it is something special. It's the most special. It couldn't be any more special. Because he is special. And could not be any more special. And we are his people. And we ought to love him with all our heart. And with all our soul. And with all our mind. And with all our strength. And if I may add one more, with all our mouth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are holy, and you are over all. You are our Savior, and you are our God. Teach us to respect your name and to bear it with reverence in every utterance of it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.